It is Mind Food Radio, and I love speaking to Dr. Emily O'Leary, the resident clinical psychologist for Mind Food magazine. A fantastic article in the July edition, The Eternal Appeal of the Underdog. Hello, Emily O'Leary.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What an interesting article, and I know this is a huge question, but what is the appeal of the underdog?
Oh, look, I think there's multiple kind of reasons as to what appeals, but I think in short, it's that we all like the underdog to somewhat and to some degree because it instills hope. We look at people who make it against the odds, and it motivates us to kind of see that change is possible. And I think it's inspiring.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons.
Now, there's some movies that are listed in this article as well, and these are really popular movies, aren't they? These are underdog movies. Rocky, The Karate Kid, Braveheart, Million Dollar Baby. That's what people go to when they want hope.
Oh, you do. There's nothing like a little bit of escapism, isn't there? Like, you know, just racing off to the movies. And, you know, Million Dollar Baby was just fantastic. You know, and you kind of came out of there and you just thought, right, you know, it's game on. And it just, I think, it's, as I said, it's motivating and it's inspiring and it makes you want to go out there and affect change.
It does. Now, one of the things that you talk about in this article is the fallacy of fairness. This is really such an interesting article. There are so many things going on with it. What would you say to people that said, life's not fair, get over it?
Oh, look, there's a lot of ways I could answer that. Yeah, the fallacy of fairness, or the fairness fallacy, is what we call a cognitive distortion, and it's something that develops over time. It's what we call a thinking error. And essentially it's that people inherently believe that things should be fair and you know, and quite rightly so. I mean, it'd be lovely if things were fair in the world, but the reality is they're often not. And when it comes to this, sometimes it's a subtle interplay between accepting some things and then fighting others. So, you know, would it be nice if things were fair in the world? Yes, but the reality is that they're not, and then it's how you respond to that. As you say, some people might hold on to that and kind of ruminate about how unfair things are without actually affecting change. But the idea around identifying the fairness fallacy is going, okay, well, there's some things I have to accept because that's just a reality of life. And other things, you know, I can actually kind of go, well, you know what? I can act on that. I can actually affect it. I can make the change I want.
So I guess that's part of our journey, is obviously understanding when we do something about it, or when we, you know, it's like picking your battles, really, isn't it?
Well, it's exactly picking your battles because, you know, we all have a tendency to kind of sit there and go, well, that's not fair, and then kind of stop there. But it might not be fair, but then you need to take the next step. You know, things aren't fair often, and that's sad in life. But then you have to kind of go, well, what can I actually do? Now, sometimes there are things you could do and sometimes there aren't. But it's around kind of choosing what is going to be the best sort of option and outcome for you. But it's important to know that, because if you're walking through life thinking, well, things should be fair, and then getting frustrated because they're not, that's going to set you up for a lot of falls.
Yes, it is. But when does somebody cross over from, you know, someone who's rooting for the underdog and challenging fairness, or just plain moaning? Because, you know, we all know people, you know, that are like, no, it's so not fair, I never get anything. You know, and you really feel like saying, come on, people.
You know, I think there's a number of ways you can kind of do it. I mean, there has to be a time limit on it, doesn't it?
Like,
I mean,
if
you're going to be a broken record
and
every day you're hearing the same stuff and it's going on and on and on, you know, that is going to do your head into some degree. And you're going to go, okay, stop. You know, you actually need to act on this, or you need to kind of tolerate that distress. So I think to some degree, you know, everyone's allowed a little bit of a whinge. I think, you know, everyone needs to kind of be heard, you know, when they're feeling like that. And that's important. But then you need to take that next step. So, you know, sometimes I say, look, a couple of days of, you know, ruminating and now what?
That's a good word. You know, ruminating. So ruminating. That's a nice word for moaning.
Subtler, isn't it? A little bit softer.
It is. Well, look, it's such an interesting article. Once again, the eternal appeal of the underdog. Just when you think you know what's going on, you get surprised in this article. It's really good. So Dr. Emily O'Leary, thank you so much for your time again.
Nice talking to you, Nikki. Okay, bye.